Take your Bible, if will, to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. I will remind you, pray for our missionaries.
Amen.
They need your prayer, and I hope you'll remember them in prayer. I got a letter this last week, I guess just yesterday, from a young guy that's down in missionaries to Trinidad, Tobago, and they've not been allowed to get back in the country. A very difficult thing, so pray for them, if you will. I got another mission letter, and to be honest with you, my mind has escaped me, but he said they're on their 468th day of lockdown. He said the worst in the world, you know, and so it's very difficult. So pray for your missionaries. Things may be getting right here, slowly but surely, in spite of some folks, but it's getting there. And but pray for your missionaries, all right? You don't know, have any idea what they may be going through. All right, Exodus chapter 15, if you're going to begin reading verse 1, the Bible says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank unto the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble." I'm going to leave off reading there. Now, oftentimes when we think of Moses, and if somebody were to ask you a question, you know, said, what do you know about Moses, and what do you think of when you think of Moses? Probably very few of us would think, man, he was a great songwriter. Well, we don't think of him that way, all right? We may think of him as a man that was at the burning bush. We may think of him as a man that gave a lot of excuses. We may think of him as a man that hit the rock twice when he was supposed to speak to it that second time. And we may think of him as the great deliverer of the Israelites. You can think of him a lot of ways, but most people don't think of him as a great songwriter. But Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you were to turn over there and you have those little subtitles, if you will, in your Bible, you'd see that that subtitle for that chapter is the Song of Moses. He wrote a song. Well, I tell you, that's not the only one he wrote. He wrote this one too. You said, how do you know he wrote it? Because he wrote the first five books of the Bible. And that's part of it, okay? And so he wrote this song, and music is something that's been important ever since Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21, because that gives us the fellows that started and started playing music instruments, and since that time it's been used to really express probably every emotion that man has ever had. In any emotion man's had, it's been expressed in music. Some people, you know, that we think of music usually as being a joyful thing, and but some people have, there's also those things that are sad. The old Negro spirituals, most of them had a sad emphasis to them. Then there's music called the blues, and that's not something that makes you want to shout and do a flip, all right, anything. But all kinds of emotions been expressed through music. Now, the bad thing is, in the last half of the past century, music was ruined. Music was just ruined by the ungodly, who turned it into an expression of lust and lasciviousness. And it's so bad that folks today don't even know what music is, all right? They figure if you got a driving beat and somebody chanting out some words, that's music. Wasn't no music to that. It's racket, all right? It may be poetical, it might be that, but it's not music. Sometimes it can be a crashing racket with nearly indistinguishable words screamed into a microphone and somebody says, music. And that's been going on for a while. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I had I took a typing class. She said, why? Because I needed a credit and that was an easy way to get it. And so I took that typing class, and the teacher in there, she would sometimes bring out a record, and it was a rock record from that time period, and she'd try to get the class to listen and help her figure out what they were saying. I confess to you, I never could figure out what they were saying, all right? But hey, just because the world's ruined their music, there's no reason for you and I to think we got to listen to it. And we dead sure don't need to pattern our music after it. We don't need to do that. There's some things here in these verses we've just read that help us when it comes to music. The first thing I want you to notice the first thing is the timing of the song. Look at the very first word in the first verse. Then. Then. Said, when did they sing? Then. So when was it? Well, it was right after what happened and what's told to us in chapter 14, all right? Look at verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Hey, it was then when that song came forth after the Egyptians had been completely destroyed. I mean, after they had been totally wiped out, they had disappeared. They were all in the bottom of the sea. They were completely covered by the water. And it was then. You say, when was it? Well, look at verse 31, all right? Verse 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Said, when did they sing? When they saw what God could do. When they saw what God could do. And then when they really believed him, they were ready to sing. They were ready to sing. Bless your heart, I want you to know they had a reason to sing. They had something to sing about. There was just something there that had taken place. It was worth singing about. While they were in the land of Egypt under bondage, there was no song. There was no song. So what was it like? Don't lose your place here, but go back to Exodus chapter 2, all right? Go back to Exodus chapter 2. Here's what it was when they were in Egypt. There was no singing, but here's what there was. In Exodus chapter 2, look if you will in verse 24. Notice what he said. God heard their what? Groaning, all right? He heard their groaning, all right? And back up to verse 23. It says, and they cried, okay? And it says the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. Hey, there was sighing, there was crying, and there was groaning, but there wasn't no singing. There wasn't nothing to sing about, all right? They weren't singing. Nobody knows how much trouble I've seen, all right? They didn't sing that song, all right? But God's deliverance changed every bit of that. God's deliverance changed every bit of it. I think about it. Our teens are going to camp, not next week, but the week after. Young people are going. It's always interesting to get in and camp and begin to watch the change as the week goes along in the singing. It's amazing how it changes. It doesn't necessarily start off great. You can look around at the beginning of the week, there's people, they're not involved. They're just kind of there. They may be sort of paying lip service to the singing. But as the week goes along, it's amazing how the singing gets better. He said, why? Because as the week goes along, more and more of the folks there at camp are getting right with God. And the more people you got right with God, the better the singing is. The better the singing is. Brother Marion ought not to have to get up here and pump people that are Christians to get them to sing. No, not have to do that. When we come through those doors, we ought to be looking forward to singing. Say, well, I don't like to sing, can't sing. I didn't ask you that, all right? Man, we sing. Hey, folks that can't sing today are often in the wrong place. They're burdened down with sin. they're suffering, if you will, at the hand of hard taskmasters. He said, well, we don't have anybody like that. Hey, there's people that come through the door every service that are like that. They're suffering at the hard taskmaster. He said, who? The devil. Because he'll work you over, all right? He'll work you over. And burdened down with problems and troubles, oftentimes because of our sin. It's hard to sing like that. But man, when you get right with God, then you can sing. Then you can sing. I mean, it just changes everything. The man that's right with God, he'll find time to sing, all right? You don't have to sing on key. You don't have to sing what the world would call good. Just sing, man, you know? And it's always a joy to be in the house of God when people are in tune with the Lord and right with Him, and the singing is good. It's amazing. Now, it does something for the service. It helps us when we do that, all right? So when do we sing? Well, when we're right with God, that's a time to sing. When you've got yourself right with the Lord, it's easy then to sing. And then the theme of our song ought to be very simple. Notice what the theme of this song. The theme of our song is praise to God. Praise to God. Now, let me just kind of take a side road here just for a minute. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't believe it's a sin to sing what might be called popular songs. Now, just need to be careful as to what makes them popular and who they're popular with, all right? And now I'm going to name some stuff, and it doesn't have to just be this. I don't think there's anything wrong with real country music. You say, what do you mean? I mean, you know, Roy Acuff, the Great Speckled Bird, the Wabash Cannonball. I don't think if you sing that, you say, man, that's wicked. I don't think so. I have a repertoire of silly songs. Last time I was preaching, I went to South Carolina. Brother Trangmar asked me to come, and I was trying to help those kids because they look culturally deprived. And so I helped them a little bit. I sang for them. I sang, May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose, all right? He said, culture. Yeah, that's a top of culture. It just so happened that the lady that played the piano for us that week, she was also over their music and everything. And I told her, I said, I'm amazed these kids never heard that. I said, you have failed them. I said, if y'all need me to come for a week of cultural training, I can do that. Now, songs like that, songs like Too Old to Cut the Mustard, they're just goofy songs. I know a bunch of them, all right? They're worthless. They said, why'd you learn them? A lot of time on my hands, okay? I don't think there's wrong with stuff like that. I don't believe, hey, I like the Sons of the Pioneers. I like what I call Western music, Roy Rogers and Rex Allen and that kind of singing. I like that kind of song, man. You say, I don't believe there's a thing in the world wrong with that. And there's other things like that, okay? Don't think it's wrong with it, but I want to say this to you. That ought not to be the main thing we sing. That ought not to be the main thing we sing. The sad thing is when God's people, that's the only kind of stuff they know. And we come to church and we act like we've never heard that song. We ought to be familiar with them. Hey, that type of music, it really goes on the back burner when you get right with God. I mean, it goes on the back burner. I still, every now and then, I've got some CDs of the Sons of the Pioneers. I like to hear them, all right? I like to hear Tumbling Tumbleweeds, okay? I just enjoy it. And I like to hear Roy and Dale sing Happy Trails to You, okay? I do, all right? That makes me wicked. You pray for me, all right? Hey, when you really get the way you need to be with God, that stuff goes on the back burner. And it becomes this. Look, if you will, all right? Look what the Bible says right there in verse 2, the very last four words of verse 2. He says, I will exalt him. I will exalt him. Hey, boy, that's the kind of singing we ought to do. The kind of singing that exalts the Lord, all right? And as we read this song here that Moses wrote and they sang together, I guarantee it's obviously not a song of the world. It's a song designed to lift up the Lord, to praise Him. Hey, we live in a sad day. We live in a day where men have pushed God out of their lives, and their songs, their singing reflect that. It utterly reflects that. Our songs ought to be clearly distinguished from that kind of music, all right? It ought to be different, all right? When I say different, I mean it's true in the musical accompaniment as well as the lyrics. It ought not to sound like that worldly music. Shouldn't have that sound to it. Shouldn't have that beat to it. Now, I like a song that gets up, goes. I like one that'll make your foot pat. But I want it to speak to my heart, too. I want those words to speak to my heart. I don't want it just speak to my foot, okay? I like it when Ms. Noble gets up and prays old quartet song that I know, and my foot pat, and I start singing the words, man. Me and Mary can get up here and have a big time, all right? We're having a good time. You say, I don't like it. Well, get used to it. We're going to do it in heaven, too, all right? Just enjoy it, all right? But our songs ought to be like that, that exalt the Lord, that lift Him up, okay? That's the kind of music we need. The theme of it is to praise the Lord, to praise Him. We talk about that. Let's just talk about a few specifics of that kind of song, all right? It has to do with the success of our God. Look, if you would, verse 1. Look what it says there. And they sang the song and spake, saying, I'll sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. There's the success of our God. I'll tell you what, He always triumphs gloriously. He always has and He always will. Never going to change. That's why we gather together here and we sing page 116 out of that songbook. Victory in Jesus. Why? That's what He did. He triumphed, okay? There's a great song that says, He lifted me from sinking sand. He lifted me. Hey, He did that for us. The success of our Savior. There's a song we sing usually just on Easter Sunday. We ought to sing it more often. That He arose. He arose. What are we singing about? The success of our Lord. He lives on high. Man, all those songs, what are they talking about? They're talking about the success of our God, His success. We sing about those kind of things. We sing to rejoice over them, not only the success, but the strength of our God. Look at verse 2. The Bible said, the Lord is my strength and song. Look down in verse 6. Thy right hand, O God, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Hey, we sing about the strength of our God. Hey, because it's that strength that sustains us. There's a song that says, without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. But we're counting on His strength, okay? His strength that gets us through that. Notice there in verse 6, it talks about thy right hand. A lot of times you'll read in the Bible and it'll talk about the right hand. In this case, the right hand of God. That right hand, if you will, it speaks of power. So how do you figure? Well, because the right hand is the predominant hand in most people. I'm fixing to ask something. I hope I don't get shot down. How many of you are right-handed? You're right-handed, okay? All right, there you go. Now, how many of you are crippled? No, I was kidding. How many left-handed? I know my son is. He's only one. Okay, there you are. William is, right? Yeah, okay. It's that family. You got to watch out, all right? If you're not careful, that thing will take over, all right? That weakness. Now, but with most people are right-handed. Most people are right-handed. Left-handed people somewhat are handicapped. And For instance, it's very difficult. If you want to play golf, it's hard to find left-handed golf clubs. And you have to pay more because they're not that popular. To shoot, if you like to shoot, you want to shoot a rifle, they're mostly made for right-handed shooters. They're made for right-handed shooters. Because you notice the bolt-action rifle. I realize that's not popular with the liberals. We shouldn't talk about shooting, but it's good stuff, all right? A bolt-action rifle is the bolts on the right side. You shoot, you do it. If you're left-handed, you shoot. It's awkward, all right? It's really awkward if you're doing that. It's made. Why? Well, because most people are right-handed. And the scripture there, when it talks about the right hand, all right, what it's doing, it's speaking of power, all right? Speaking of power, the dominant hand is going to be your strongest hand. If you've ever tried to grip and you have a machine that'll measure your grip, if you're right-handed and you're normal, you'll have more grip strength with that right hand than you will your left. Now, if you're left-handed, your left hand will be the stronger one. Stronger grip right there, okay? So that's why when I go out with my son, I'd carry him at my left hand. If he got turned loose, it was okay. But I'd hold my daughter with my right hand. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But, hey, you understand what I'm saying? That right hand speaks of power and strength. So the use of that terminology demonstrates the great power of God that is absolutely unsurpassed. Hey, when we sing, we ought to be singing about the strength of God. It ought to be in there. What He can do and what He has done. It's unbelievable. Compared to you and I, man, we're measly weaklings. But what He can do. Oh, the greatness of our God. So we sing about the success of our God. We sing about the strength of our God. But we also sing about salvation. Look back there in verse 2, would you? And the Bible said, we read, the Lord is my strength and song. It says, and He has become my salvation. He is my God. My God. Boy, it was true of those Israelites. They had been delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. He had saved them. He had physically saved their lives. Physically saved their lives. And then when they could sing, He has become my salvation, all right? They knew what it was for God to do that, to save them, deliver them. Boy, for you and I, how true it is. It goes way beyond what the Israelites were singing about there. Hey, He is our salvation. He's delivered us. He's delivered us, first of all, from hell. From hell. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you never have to worry about the fire of hell. You don't have to worry about dying and going into an eternal place of torment and suffering. The Lord's delivered you from that through salvation. Man, He's our salvation. What a wonderful thing it is to know you're saved, all right? What a wonderful thing it is. We're delivered. It's good to sing of that. That we sing that song, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. We've been redeemed, all right? It's been paid for. We've been saved, okay? Delivered from hell. Hey, we're delivered from the ravages of sin. You can be saved and still be ravaged by sin, but you don't have to be. It's your choice. You don't have to be. Sin doesn't have to work you over. Just doesn't have to do it. It's interesting to look at people. You look at people. You can see the effects of sin on a lot of people's face. They've been ravaged by sin. But you and I, if you're born again, we've been saved from that. That doesn't have to happen to you and I. That doesn't have to happen to you. You don't have to give in to it, all right? Hey, we've been saved from the clutch of the destroyer. We don't have to worry about what the devil getting his hand upon us, all right? We don't have to worry about that. We've been saved from that. You say, well, what about Job? God still had his hand on Job the whole time. God still had his hand on Job that whole time. Hey, we've been saved from that. Not only that, we've been saved from the way of the ungodly. We don't have to walk that stretch anymore. We don't have to do that. Don't have to go that way. And that right there is worth singing about. Okay? That's worth singing about. I mean, when's the last time you heard a doper get up and sing about the glories of injecting themselves with dope? When's the last time you heard a song about how wonderful it is snort cocaine? I'll be honest, it may be out there, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Oh, and those things that we're talking about, man, there's a reason for us to sing, okay? And the songs that we sing, it ought to be that way. It ought to be a song of jubilation. Look again at verse 2, would you? Verse 2, it says, He is my God. He is my God. Take your Bible, if you would, and let's go to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Look there with me, would you? Psalm 144, what a marvelous verse right here. Psalm 144, verse 15. Look at that verse. Happy is that people that is in such a case. You say, what case? Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Look at verse chapter 146, all right, and verse 5. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy. Happy. Used to sing a chorus in the youth department, I'm so happy. Here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with a load of sin. Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Man, what a blessing it is to be a child of God. All right? What a wonderful, our singing, it's a song of jubilation, all right? Hey, if you've got the real God, happiness is going to come with it. You've got the real God, happiness right there with it. It'll just bubble out in you. I think, you know, I think about the what passes for music in our day, and I think about it, and I realize there's not a whole lot of songs of happiness and joy. And now, I don't listen to a whole lot of it, but sometimes you get exposed to some of it. But I think of the songs I can think of that I hear. I don't hear songs that are happy. I don't hear songs coming forth from people talking about the great joy they have. I hear songs about trouble, sorrow, sadness, drinking. Hey, all of that kind of stuff. Heartache, heartbreak, and God knows what, but it isn't jubilation. It isn't jubilation. Man, I believe singing, it serves a purpose more than just to get you down with everybody else. You know, we don't gather here and sing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We don't do that. Well, we just, you know, I'll be honest with you, I like a song service that moves along. I do. I like a song service that moves along. Nothing bothers me more than going to a church, visiting in a church, and they're going to sing some great hymn, and they drag it to death. I'm wore out by the time the song ends. I want to sit down. I don't know if I can handle any preaching or not. I've been drugged to death. Man, I like song that we ought to have a song service. Moves along. Why? Because it speaks to what's happened inside us and what God's done for us. That's what it does. Hey, I just want to ask you, consider the music, your music, would you? Consider yours. Is it like this? Is it something that'll lift the one who sings it and the one who hears it? Will it do that? Put a smile on your face. We were sitting at Brother Flanagan's funeral. I'd forgotten about the song that he had written. And they played it real loud, just as everything was quiet. Family had been seated, and they started the song. And it said this, "If you hear that I die, don't believe it." He said, "If you hear that I die, don't believe it." He said, "I'll be walking on streets of gold." I've told you before, the song he wrote I really enjoyed was "I Ain't Gonna Ride No Hearse." I liked it for its English beauty. I ain't gonna ride no hearse. I liked the message. His preacher, pastored him for years and years, said, he said, "I just want to remind you, Johnny Flanagan's not gonna ride a hearse." Because he said, and he pointed there to the casket, he said, "He's not here. He's not going to be riding in the hearse." Hey, how about it? The music you've got, does it do that for you? It ought to cause rejoicing over the blessing of God, over the expression of the ability of God. And the little kids, I think, still here in church saying, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." I like that song. I think it's appropriate for the auditorium even, all right? It's that way. Hey, if your music doesn't do that, then you've got the wrong stuff, okay? You're listening to the wrong thing. I think about people a lot of times that are always down in the dumps. And some of them, I know what they listen to, and I think if I listened to that, I'd be down in the dumps too. I'd be ragged out. There's just something better, all right? And by the way, the thing that does, it's not the beat. It's not the beat. Because you see, if song's got a message, it doesn't have to have the beat to lift you. Doesn't have to have that. It'll do it for you. How about your music? Does it do that for you? That was a song Moses and children of Israel sang. Now, we didn't cover all of it. It's got a lot more to it. Just thought we'd take a little bit of time and look at that tonight. God help us to learn to sing the right kind of music. And you know, if you find yourself going through the store humming a tune, how good it would be if somebody said, "Man, what's that tune you're humming?" And you could tell them some great song of the faith, maybe, some great gospel song, something that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. I think I heard one time, I think it's Jack Hiles telling the story that he was reading the newspaper. I think it's the newspaper. I may have the details wrong, but I got the gist of the story, all right? But he said, "I was reading that," and he said, "I was in my mind, I was thinking about that song, that chorus we sing, 'Get the New Look from the Old Book.'" All right? And you remember that song when we sing it, "Get the New Look from the Old Book." We raise our Bible, you know, "Get the New Look from the Bible." And Brother Howell said, "I was humming that song, reading that," and he said, "I didn't realize what I was doing, but every time, you know." And somebody finally said, "Man, are you trying to sell that paper?" He could tell them why he was doing, all right? Hey, boy, listen, cheer you up. You're having a bad day? Start singing about the Lord. Start singing about the Lord. I've been in the hospital bed before, and I found myself singing. And I thought, man, if somebody came in, what would they think? And then I thought, who cares what they think? It doesn't matter to me, you know. Hey, God's people, we're to be people that's got a song. Got a song. What kind of music are you singing? What are you listening to? What are you listening to? And I confess to you, it is hard to find good music. It's hard to find it today, right? Now, those guys are going to be here next week. I'm pretty sure they'll have a CD. That's some good stuff you can enjoy. Be a blessing to you. Be a blessing to you. If you can go on and find some of the Johnny Flanagan, if you can find some of his singing, get your hands on it, get a hold of it, buy it, and listen to it. Get it, all right? It'll be a blessing to you. Look on eBay. You can find stuff. Usually good stuff's cheap. Because people are stupid. They don't know what good stuff is, all right? Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, you've blessed us. You're our God. You're a God who's strong and mighty. Lord, you've done tremendous things for us. Dear God, there's a reason to sing. We've got something to sing about. Even in the dark night, we've got something to sing about. And Lord, would you help us? Would you help us always to have a song? A song that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, that would honor you. And Lord, Lord, just help us to sing that song. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.